do for all of us. The Lord has put it on my heart to bring this message today to you, this Thursday. But first, I want to say thank you for being my wonderful partner and wonderful friend. All right, now, the rapture of the church is mentioned many times in the Bible. First, let's go together, because see, I want to show you scriptures, and then I'm going to show you how to be ready. In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, beginning at verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Notice verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, the second coming of the Lord has two stages. Stage number one, he's coming for his church first, where we're going to meet him in the air. The earth will not know it. He will not come to earth. His feet will not touch the Mount of Olives. This will be in the second stage. He will come first in the clouds, and we will meet him in the air and be transformed. When you read, and this is going to happen, I believe, very, very soon, this is what the Lord meant when he said he will come as a thief in the night. Because the rapture is going to happen suddenly. The visible return, which is the second stage, people will know it's coming because of all the disasters that will happen on earth prior to that. But we're not going to talk about that today. We're talking about the rapture. So in John 14:3, the Lord is talking to the church, not to the heathens. He says, I go to prepare a place for you, meaning the church. I will come again in the rapture or the great catching up, receive you unto myself. So this has nothing to do with the Lord coming to judge the world at this point. He's coming to receive the church unto himself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know, the reason for the rapture has a big headline. Jesus misses you and wants to be with you. It's that simple. Okay? You know, the Lord wants to be with his church. What did he pray in John 17? I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Why? That they may behold my glory. But he also said to the Father, here is my prayer. I will that they whom thou hast given be with me. He wants to be with us. That's the whole reason, in my opinion. It's the love of God that is going to cause the coming of the Lord, because he wants to be with his people. Of course, you know, God's word says a lot more is going to happen, naturally. But he wants to be with us, and how we long to be with him. Listen, the last prayer in the Bible. What is the last prayer? Even so come, Lord Jesus. Because the church wants to be with her Lord. We want to be with our Redeemer. Hallelujah. All right, now, who is he coming for? Hebrews chapter 9, and this is going to help you a lot, because when I say, you know, are you ready, how to get ready for the rapture, I think this one verse has a lot in it already. It says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him, unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, without sin unto salvation. So there's a lot of people right now who are not looking for the Lord. You know, Peter says, well, they're going to mock his out. We've heard that before. He's not come, and so on and so on, and so forth. But those who love him are looking for him. They're waiting for the day when the Lord will return. So who is he coming for? He's coming for those who are looking for his coming. If you're not looking for his coming, well, there's a problem there. A lot of people will miss the rapture. Take my word for it. It's in the Bible too, by the way. And those people who will miss the rapture are going to miss a lot. That's why the Lord Jesus said, he said, pray that you may be worthy to escape all the things that are coming on earth and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, what's going to happen at the rapture is going to be fantastic. So it's not just about all the rapture. It's also about the fact that in the twinkling of an eye, we will be changed into his image. Think about that. Philippians 3:20 says, for our conversation is in heaven, or our citizenship is in heaven. from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. So when you talk about the rapture, we also have to remember that in that event, we will be transformed into his likeness. You know, all in the twinkling of an eye. Wow. Now, we all know what it says in 1 Thessalonians, but before we read 1 Thessalonians 4, I want to read Acts. Because in the book of Acts, and these are all rapture scriptures, these are all the great catching up scriptures that have nothing to do with the second stage of the Lord's return, where every eye will see him. Notice he's coming only for his church in these cases. In Acts 3, verse 19, repent ye therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. I'm reading Acts 3, 19 and 20. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you, meaning you that heard the gospel. Those that have not heard the gospel will not be in the rapture. Those who have not believed the gospel will not be there. But he had preached Christ unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of the restitution or restoration of all things, which God has spoken by his prophets. So, the rapture of the church is a definite event that I think is going to happen literally, maybe 5 to 10 years max, if things continue as they are. There's just no way there'll be, you know, the changes happening on earth right now are happening so rapidly. It's really hard even, to be honest with you, it's hard to keep up with them. All the new technologies, all the new things we're talking about now with AI. I mean, I think sometimes, you know, when the Lord said the days will be shortened because even the very elect may be deceived. And he said one day, he said, when he comes, will there be faith on the earth, you know? So you think like, why did he say that? Well, because of all the changes today on the planet today, they're performing things nobody thought possible even 10, 20 years ago. And now happening because of all the new technologies. I mean, imagine they're talking about mixing human with robotic. Like, who thought about that? Okay, look in 1 Thessalonians 4. I love this. You know, I don't really want to be here when all this madness begins. I'd rather just be in glory. You know, I've lived a long life already. 69 years, that's a long time. I think the Lord's going to have me here a little while longer to help, you know, some sweet people like yourselves and others and do my job that he's called me to do. But when I'm done, I'm going to say shalom. I'm gone. I mean, to be here where all this madness is going to be happening. I was telling somebody recently, I said, well, I said, you'll be here to deal with it, but not me. But it's okay. Anyways. Now watch what it says. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Oh, Lord. How I await that day. Wow. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. I love this, with a shout, because God will announce his coming, you know, to the church. With the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. What an entry. What a glorious announcement. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Ooh, one of these days, every saint of God, their bodies will arise from the grave. And they're going to receive brand new bodies all in the twinkling of an eye. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Catherine Kuhlman thought she'd be alive when the rapture happens. And I think I will be too, but nobody knows. All we know is we're going to be there, whether alive or not alive. In the body, I mean. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord. Where? In the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Notice verse 18. It says, comfort one another with these words. The greatest promise we can give you to bring comfort. Somebody says, oh, look at all the problems. My answer is, Jesus is coming. He'll soon be over. Oh, I'm being persecuted. Jesus is coming. He'll soon be over. Oh, I'm always sick. Jesus is coming. You won't be sick no more when he's here. So we have to remind you, the coming of the Lord is our great hope, you know. The coming of the Lord is mentioned in the Bible, listen to this, 318 times, just in the New Testament. Out of 260 chapters, the second coming is mentioned 318 times. Think about how important that is, and nobody other is talking about it. So we need to talk about it. One out of every 25 verses talks about the second coming. Imagine that. One verse out of 25 in the New Testament talks about the second coming. And preachers today on TV hardly even talk about it. Very few are, thank God for them. But those who are not, well, they need to. So the greatest number of prophecies in the Old Covenant deal with what? The second coming of the Lord. That's the number headline, the big one number headline in the Old Covenant. When it comes to prophecy, has to do with the second coming. So here we have it. Now, you know, you even look at, you know, portions like Isaiah 26. I think Isaiah 26 is one of the greatest rapture, great catching up scripture in the Old Testament. Because it's so clear and right to the point where it says in Isaiah 26:20, "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers. Shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed." So why? There's that hiding. God is taking his people. He says, "Come, my people, enter into your chambers for a moment." That moment is 7 years. The result is this. And here's the reason. "For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity." He's not coming to punish the saints. It says the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. "The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain." Meaning, there'll not be enough graves to bury the dead. Now, it's impossible when people say that we believers are going to go through the rapture. No, it's not God's nature. I mean, through the tribulation, I should say. It's not God's nature. It's not God's nature to punish the righteous. Abraham said to the Lord, he said, "Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" And God said, "I won't do it. If there's 10, I won't do it." But you know what? There wasn't even 3. Well, there wasn't even 5, to be honest with you. It was just a few. But think with me. How many times we read in the Bible that God did not judge the righteous and the wicked at the same time? The angel says to Lot, he says, "I cannot destroy till you're out." Or the Bible says, "God has not appointed us unto wrath." Or think about Israel in Egypt. That's, I think, the biggest example of all. Egypt was protected in Goshen, while God destroyed the whole land of Egypt, only a few miles away. God put a difference between the righteous, his people, and the unrighteous, the Egyptians at the time. So there's many, many scriptures that talk about this. So no, the righteous will be spared. In Titus chapter 2, and that's why I believe in the rapture of the church, even though the rapture is not mentioned, you know, in the Bible, the great catching up is. In Titus 2:13 it says, "Looking for that blessed hope." Oh, how I am. "And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Wow. So wonderful. So wonderful. Now, let me show you something else. How do I and you get ready? What do we do to get ready? Let's look at 1 John. This is the key here, in my opinion. 1 John 2:28 is really powerful. And this verse says it all. It says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, you may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Now, little children, this is talking about the rapture because it talks to the church. He says, little children, he's not talking to the heathen. Abide in him. Well, the world can't do that. Abide in him. Abiding in the Lord. Continually being in his presence is the key to be ready for that glorious day that will come as a thief in the night. So, it says if we abide in him, we will not be ashamed before him. Many will be who are not being ready for the coming of the Lord. And many will miss it and have to go through the great tribulation and killed. Many of them will be killed by Antichrist. And the Lord is giving us a lot of warnings in the Bible. He says, watch, pray. Like example in Luke 21:36, he says, watch. You know, let's just read it because this is so powerful. We are to do it always, not just one time, you know, here and there. So when you read this verse, it's like, okay, I'm getting it. Watch ye therefore and pray always. Not just one day, not just a week, not just a month. Pray always. That you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass. Think about the earth is going to be so destroyed that every city will be destroyed by one earthquake. Think about every island will disappear, mountains will disappear. People struck with cancerous tumors on their body, millions upon millions and the hundreds of millions will die by the plagues, by the wars, by the deaths, by the famines, and so much more. Complete devastation in the last 3.5 years of the great tribulation. And yet the Lord here is giving us the way out. Watch, be alert, don't fall asleep, see what's coming, know what's coming. Know the signs of the times and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that are coming and to stand before the Son of Man. In Matthew 25, it talks about the wise virgins who were ready and went into the wedding. And then then it says the door was shut. Half of them didn't make it, you know. Wow. So, let's believe God that we will be there to make it. Narrow is the way, you know, that leads to life. Wide is the way that leads to destruction. Can I tell you something that I think? I could be wrong. I think half of the people will not make it. Half of those who call themselves Christians. You say, how you say that? Well, because 10 wise and 10 foolish, remember that amazing parable in the Bible? Half of them didn't make it, did they? Possible that the Lord was giving us an insight into the future of the church. I'm not saying, you know, I'm right. I could be way off. But I think about narrow is the way, you know. Very few will find it. Wide is the way that leads to destruction. I want you to be a part of those who will make it. And I'm telling you right now how to make it. I just showed you. Abide in him. John 1 John 2:28. And pray always. Not only watch, but pray always. This is extremely, extremely, extremely important. So, who is the Lord coming for? He's coming for those who are looking for him. I want to read one more scripture from Luke, and then I want to pray with you. You know, I really feel the stirring of the Lord in my heart. You know, I'm sensing something stirring in my soul. And I think many of you maybe feel the same. Let your loins, I'm reading Luke 12:35-36. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Now, when it talks about loins, it means the mind. Let your mind be like put a belt around your mind. Bring it under control. and let your light shine. Let your light be burning. And you yourselves, like unto men that wait for the Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open unto him immediately. The Lord is telling us here very clearly in Luke 12, 35, 36, another secret of being ready. He said, put a belt around your mind, meaning the word. And I'm giving you the secrets of getting ready. Number one, abide in him. Number two, watch and pray always. And number three, get that mind under control. Let the belt of truth, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Well, the only time I know to put a belt is the belt of the Bible, not a real belt around your waist, the belt of truth. You know, back then, years ago, they would wear belts around the robes so they won't fall, they won't trip, you know, because they would wear robes that sometimes would be a little long and they would pull them together with a belt. And the Bible uses that example of put a belt around your mind. Father, in the name of Jesus, prepare them. Come on, people, this is very important. Stretch your hands towards me. I'm stretching my hands and my heart towards you. Lord, prepare them. Prepare all of us that we will not miss that glorious day. For you said you'll come as a thief in the night. Lord, I pray that you will cause your people, everyone watching and listening, right now to abide in you, as it says in your word in 1 John 2. I pray, Lord, put a hunger in them for watchfulness and prayer. And Lord, help them put that word of truth around their mind and in their mind and life, that they may shine like lights in the name of Jesus, Father. That not one listening to me will miss the rapture. Not one of us. In the glorious name, Jesus, I give you praise. Well, thank you for joining me. You know, every so often I'm going to remind you, because the time is here, the hour is here. It's time to give now to the Lord. Help me get this message out more and more. I want to write a book, by the way. Soon I'm going to be working on it. How to prepare for the rapture and what to do if you miss it. And I would love to have you get a copy when I'm done writing it. There's so much in the Bible about that. And what is so upsetting to me is nobody talks about it. Hardly out there. Very, very few. Thank God for those who are. But nobody is telling people Jesus is coming, get ready. And I'm here telling you, Jesus is coming, get ready. So help me get the message out. But, you know, I want you to give today so God can bless you. So the Lord can prosper your tomorrow and keep you safe financially too. So give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. That's the Bible. Honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruits of all your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses will burst out with new wine. That's the Bible. And the Bible also says, if we faint not, we will reap in due season. So don't give up on giving. Because as you give, God will give more and more and more. You never lose your seed, by the way, you know. It comes back. It goes into your future and comes back to you multiplied many times over. So you can give right now on the platforms you're watching me on, or go to benihin.org, or simply text BHM 45777. Tomorrow, healing service at 7 p.m. East Coast. Make sure to register on Zoom. It's going to be glorious. And I'll see you on all other platforms too tomorrow. Shalom. Love you. Bye-bye.